We'll count it afterwards, guys. Why don't you just give it to Jeff? We'll just stick it on the front row. We'll count it later. Sorry. I'm usually the counting lady, too. So. Okay. So I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me a word this morning. I just want to share it. And if it's real fast, then we'll just get through it and we'll still watch our John Bevere. But if not, you know, we'll see where this goes. But I just feel like the Holy Spirit was giving me a download during worship that was a word for our church right now. And I just want to be faithful to share this. I feel like it's really timely. For probably about 24 hours, I've had this phrase like going through my spirit that I feel like the Holy Spirit was just like expounding on this morning. And the phrase, the sentence is, you know, are you going to let God finish writing your story? Who's going to finish writing your story? You know, I love a great ending. Don't you love a great ending? And in fact, I detest movies that are sad and end in death. Detest. True story, I don't even remember, because some movies I go to because I love my children, okay? So there was a Star Wars movie that I went to the theater because I have a son and he loves Star Wars. I grew up in a sci-fi home, so, you know, we did our Star Wars thing too. I do enjoy it. And I can't even remember what Star Wars it was. The one where they all die at the end. Rogue One, that psycho one, yeah. So that one, I'm like loving Rogue One, Star Wars, where I'm like, I literally halfway through the movie, I lean over to the kids. I'm like, this is so good. I would go again tomorrow. I say that to them. And then 3/4 of the way, I'm like, this is the best Star Wars movie ever. And at the very end, the hero and heroess and the entire planet, all heroes. Sorry. Well, guys, the spoiler, hello. The movie's been out for 2 years. If you haven't seen it by now, and I'm not spoiling it on you. It's not like it's in the theaters. The whole planet, including the heroes, all blow up at the end. But they give their ultimate, you know, ultimate lives, you know, to get the plans for the Death Star out there, and then they all die. And literally, the whole planet explodes. And I look over at the kids, I'm like, I hate this stinking movie. I'm never going to this movie ever again. Because I'm like, I don't like a sad ending. I want to leave a movie with a happy ending. Give me a Hallmark any day over, you know, some sad tearjerker where she dies, but she made a difference in this world. No, I want happy endings, right? Well, you know, God, if you're in this room and you're born again, the Lord began a story. He's the one that birthed your story. He has a storyline before the foundation of the earth written out. He has it planned out for you, what each chapter holds, the secret blessings, the tragedies you'll have to walk through, the hard times, the good times, the plot twists that you didn't see coming. He has that story written out. And if you're born again, he's begun your book. Like, he's begun your story. He's writing it. But the question is, like, too often in life, like, we get about halfway through and then we take the pen from the Lord and begin writing our own chapters. It happens really easy. Really, really easy. You know, Peter did this. He's there zealous. He tells the Lord, you know, I would die for you. I'll go to the gallows with you, Jesus. No way would I ever deny you. And he's like, man, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Like in the next 24 hours. Those very words, you're going to, like, they're echoing your ears and you're literally, Satan's asked to sift you like wheat. No, 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 no. No, no way, no way, no way, no way. And you know what? I want to be strong for you, Lord. Give me the pen. I know how to write this chapter myself. See, I wear this sword at my side. And Peter was pretty gutsy. When the troops came on that guard in the garden, he took, I mean, armed troops. Here's Peter the fisherman with his sword. He takes it out and cuts off the servant's ear. Remember that? He's not a very good aim. Obviously, he probably wasn't even going for the ear. Praise God. Because otherwise, Jesus would have had to pick up the servant's head and put it back on him. He could have done that. Remember, he picked up the ear and healed it. That would have been even more dramatic. Here's the beheaded person. That's a cool miracle to see. Gruesome, but cool. Peter's writing his own story, though. And what does Jesus say? Put your sword away. If you want to live by that sword, you're going to have to die by it. Quit writing your own story, Peter. You think that in your own strength, you have what it takes. But what I tell you to do is pray. 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 Remember, he goes to the garden. He takes the disciples with him. And then even out of the 12, he takes his top three, John, James, and Peter. And he says, come with me. I want you extra close. And he just said, like, Jesus was weeping, sweating drops of blood. He was literally under the pressure of the weight, literally the weight of the world that was coming upon him in his final hours. And he's like, here, I want to write your story. I know what it needs to say. Watch and pray. This chapter is about watching and praying, Peter. This chapter is about watching and praying. Peter, poor Peter, he could not even handle watching his Lord and Master, what he's going through. I mean, can you imagine the crisis he felt on the inside? Like, what is Jesus, like, what's Jesus going through? I've never seen him like this before. And what do we do when we get depressed and scared? We go to sleep because everyone likes to take a good nap when you're depressed, right? And so he falls asleep. And Jesus comes, wakes him up, says, Peter, watch and pray. Let me help you write this. Don't write it yourself. Watch and pray. Peter falls asleep again. Jesus comes back a third time, or second time. Watch and pray, Peter. Quit taking the pen out of my hand. I want to write a good story for you. Satan's asked to sift you. You need to pray. What you read right now is watching and praying, not sleeping and slumbering. And the third time Jesus comes back, they've fallen asleep again. And he says, get up. The hour's come. Time of testing is here. And unfortunately, you've been writing your own story, and you're not ready for this. And here's Peter. No, I am. Takes out his sword. Super bad aim. Gets the ear. Jesus says, take away that. Put the sword away. Heals the guy's ear. And they all scatter and run. Because all of a sudden, the gravity of the situation hits them. And he didn't watch and pray. And we know what happens. Like, Peter finds himself in absolutely an hour of crisis where he can't even claim the Lord's name in front of a servant girl. Right? So there's this question that's been just lingering in my heart, and I feel like it's a word for our church where the Lord's like, JRC, like, I birthed you. The Lord birthed this church. I mean, Jeff and I have done our best, man. But I'm telling you, this church was on the edge of a knife, is what it felt like. So many different times, had the Lord not come and steadied the movement, had he not come and lifted the movement, we would have never made it. We almost didn't survive our first year. We really didn't. We almost didn't survive it, I'd say even in our marriage. It was so difficult. And then the Lord stepped in on that right away, about 6 months in, and we go, whoa, okay, we're not the problem. The devil's the problem. Then we started getting on the same page about that. But the Lord started this story. He started your story. If you're born again, he's the one that birthed it. He's the one that gave your intro, your first few chapters here. And I feel like he's saying, are you going to let me finish this thing, or are you going to take it into your own hands and try to make your own storyline? And during worship, I felt like the Lord was, he was bringing up Saul and David to me. Two kings, the first two kings of Israel. And the Lord started both of their stories. I mean, the Lord is the one that chose Saul to be king. And he chose Saul to be king to bless Israel. And Saul was not Saul was not disciplined for Israel. Saul was God's blessing for Israel. Saul was like humble, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he was, you know, he was really quite amazing. Now, when we think of King Saul, we don't really think of him as being amazing because, man, he did not do well in his life. But actually, he started out awesome. God chose him because he had a heart after him, because he cared, because he was full of humility. But there came this point in Saul's reign where he got established as king, and all of a sudden he felt like, God's given me this position. Now what do I have to do to keep it? And he took the pen away from the Lord and began to write his own story. And there he is. The troops are fighting against Gibeon, and his troops are going AWOL on him, and he's down to only a few, and he's supposed to wait for Samuel. He has clear instructions. Wait for the prophet Samuel to come. He'll offer sacrifices and pray for you. And all of a sudden, there's Saul going, I think I have a better way. The Lord would never want everyone to leave me. Then what would happen? So he steps in and he does what no king should do, and he becomes the priest for a moment, offers the sacrifice, blesses the men to try to get a little spiritual revival happening so they won't all leave him. And as soon as he's done making the sacrifice, here walks in Samuel. And it's like Samuel saying, why did you ever take the pen out of the hand of the Lord? He had the outline for this chapter already written. He told you what to do. Why did you take it into your own hands? And literally, the Lord said, I regret that I ever made him king. He just won't let me write his story. He doesn't really believe that the one who began it can complete it. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. We never have to take the pen away from the Lord and write it ourselves. We can let him have his full way in our life every step of the way. And then thinking about that in contrast, thinking about David. Oh my goodness, JRC, David. This guy refused to write his own story. It didn't matter if, like, all of hell was tempting him. I mean, I read his story and go, I don't think I had the character to make the choices he made. But, I mean, here's David. Like Saul, he's a young star in Israel. I mean, rising star, has the promise of God over his life, has the favor of God, prophetic promises. I mean, he's just a kid. When he's got oil poured over his head by the prophet and said, you're going to be king someday. He's a little shepherd boy. Not much older than Nay. I mean, he's got a storyline. He knows where this thing is going. You know, a lot of times when we know where it's going, we want to choose how to get there. Sometimes you're like, oh, wait, I got a promise over my life. That's the promise. Now I'm going to choose how to get there. And God's like, oh, that's hilarious. Joseph, yeah, you do have a promise. You're going to be second in command, but I'm going to take you to the dungeon first. Oh, everyone wants the promise. Nobody wants the dungeon. I don't blame them. And David, he's this rising star in Israel. He's got the Goliath triumph under his belt, right? God wrote a good story there, didn't he? I mean, teenager, defeats the great giant enemy warrior Goliath, cuts off his head. I love stories like that. Runs around with his head. There's some things you couldn't even make a movie about it because it'd be so gory. Well, I'm sure they have. It's gory still. He had good aim, unlike Peter. Yeah, I mean, he's this rising star, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, now he's in the king's palace, and they make him over the king's army, and it's like, you know, David's going, wow, 5 years ago, I would have never guessed that I was going to be working next to the king. I actually see a pathway to the kingship. I'm going to be his stinking son-in-law. I mean, then all of a sudden, he's in the king's family. You know, David's like, well, let's see what happens here. But the Lord told me I'd be king, and now I'm his son-in-law. I went from a poor shepherd boy to now being a son to him, having these great military battles. And all of a sudden, Saul's under torment. He's writing his own story left and right at this point. He has totally abandoned the Lord. He's overcome by a spirit of jealousy. And all of a sudden, his full vengeance is turned on innocent David. And here's the question. David, are you going to try to take the pen out of the hand of the Lord and write your own storyline to the promise? Or are you going to let Father keep writing your chapters? And here's David, separated from his wife, on the run through deserts, living in caves, literally being chased around the desert for his life. And at one point, I mean, this is like, there's some moments in this time when David's being chased. And it's not like a short time, it's years. Years he was being chased, living, no creature comforts. You know, the people that are coming to him and collecting to him are just like disgruntled people, people with major problems. It says people who had debts and were like, had debts they owed the king, so they hated the king too. I mean, that's your favorite people to be around.
I hate the government. They make me pay the taxes. I'm going to go rebel with you, David.
Oh, yay. I love these people that God's given me. That he made something amazing out of them shows like there was some favor on his life from God. And so there's this point, though, where David is literally hiding in a cave for his life. And Saul and his army, Saul like decides he needs to use the bathroom. Probably number two, I'm sure. I'm sure he wouldn't need to hide in a cave to go uno. So he's like, literally goes, finds a cave, and he's like, I need to go relieve myself. This story is hilarious. So he's going pooping in the cave in the dark to get some privacy. That's what the story says. And David is so close, he could cut his head off. David's like literally, you know how black caves are? Like when you really get back, you can't see even your hand in front of your face, you know, when you're really back into a cave. And so David is literally so close, his men are like, just say the word, I'll cut him down now while he's using the bathroom. And David like cuts, you know, like the corner of his robe off. I suppose because the robe spread out. I don't know, whatever he's doing. The picture's funny. Okay, guys. He's that close, though, that he cuts the corner of the robe off. He was this close. All he had to do was, let me take that pen from you, Lord. I could thank you for letting me solve this problem right now. But he refused. I will not write my own story. Either the Lord defends me or I die. Do you know how powerful that is? David became the king with the dynasty forever, where the lineage of Jesus came from, because he refused to take the pen and write his own story. When it was within his grasp to fulfill his own destiny, he said, no. God started this story and God's going to end it. He's going to finish my story and he's going to do it his way. And JRC, I just feel like the Lord is like standing before us. He's saying, I want you to lay down the pen and I want you to trust me to finish your story. I want you to trust me to write it and to finish it well. I know what I'm doing. And I think, you know, I think in some ways, I take so much humility and grace to step back and to say, I'm just going to let you write it, Lord. I mean, I've got a lot of opinions about what should be going into my story right now. Really strong opinions about what should be happening in my story right now. And I could tell you, if you want some advice about how I think this thing should turn out, But the Lord's like, just let me get glory. Aren't you glad we could read David's story? Aren't you glad we could put ourselves in that place of being within hand's reach, of solving our problem, which is Saul, who's trying to kill us, and saying, I refuse. I refuse. Lord, you write it. Later on, after the Lord established David's throne, he has this another crucial moment where he just chose not to write it himself. And it's where his own son Absalom, there's all kinds of trouble in David's family, and his son Absalom rises up at one point to overthrow his own father. I mean, pain upon pain. That would, I can't even imagine the inner anguish as a father that David was going through. But also the knowledge that Absalom was not a good man. What would he do to Israel? I mean, there's so many different like ways to look at how tragic that is. And Absalom rises up to overthrow his father. And you see David doing absolutely the unthinkable again, where he just steps back and he says, I'm not taking the pen. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know if I'm going to live or survive or if the kingdom will rise or fall. But it's your story, Lord. It's your story, and I'm going to let you write it. And we know that the Lord himself dealt with Absalom. Absalom was killed by the sword. And David's promise, the promise of the Lord to David, that his dynasty would remain forever, that he'd always have someone on the throne, that promise stayed. David lived to an old age and died as king. I feel like even as I feel like in some ways, even 2020 is, there's coming transitions in our church, in the church across the whole region. We've been in transition period for a while. The Lord's going to bring in this million soul harvest. I feel like we're right at the edge of it. A million souls in the 5-state regions we're believing for. This is going to come. This is coming. And there's going to be all kinds of transition. I don't even know what it's all going to look like, but there's all kinds of transition coming to the body of Christ to be able to steward what he's bringing. And I feel like in this moment, it's so important that we literally get on our knees and say, God, you got to write this story. I don't know what it's going to look like. I really literally don't know exactly what this is going to look like. But I trust you, Father, to write a good one. I trust you to write a good story with my own personal life and with us as a church body. You've got a good story, and I don't want to hijack the pen and write it myself. Yeah. All right, that's all I had. I mean, I got it all during worship, so I didn't get to plan it out. Sorry, I don't have a smooth ending. That's it. But I want us to pray. Let's pray before we go. And let's respond. I feel like we need to respond. You know, when we know that we're in, there's many times when I feel like, you can look at me still. Sorry, guys, I'm going to talk for a few more minutes. Psych! That's right. Pretend ending. There's plenty of times, you know, when we feel the warning of the Holy Spirit, like you need to really pray for help right now. Do you know what I mean? There's times when you just know the Lord's saying, this might be hard for you. Ask me for assistance. Ask the right question right now. And I recently had a dream where there was a great spiritual attack coming on our church. And it was like, I knew that we had to go to an upper room for safety. You know, the upper room in Acts chapter 2, that's where They prayed for days and fasted on end and prayed and worshiped, and where the Holy Spirit met them, and there was a fresh commissioning, right? And an outpouring. And in the dream, it's like no one was doing anything terrible. Everyone was just distracted. Distracted, doing life, not paying attention. And I was like, no, seriously, we got to get up here. We got to get up here. And finally, I looked at different people in the church and I said, I just want you to know this is life or death and you may not make it, but I can't wait any longer. I've got to go up. And the Holy Spirit was with me and we went to the upper room. And so I feel like there's an urgency for us as a church to just recognize, Holy Spirit, we need your help. I mean, that's like step one. We just need your help. Acknowledging, I really need your help to be awake in this moment, to live in the upper room, so to speak, in this moment, to not take a hold of the pen and write my own story in this moment. Like, I really need your help to be yielded in this moment, to lay down my life in this moment, to go with where, to ride this ride where you want it to go, not to get off on my own thing. And I feel like that's what we need to respond to this morning. Holy Spirit, help us. Awaken us. Help us to stay in step with you. Let's stand up right now. Jeff, do you have anything to add to that? Chad, could you maybe, would you mind doing something on the guitar, something amazing on the guitar? Could you write a song on the guitar right now for this moment? Just like something about David, Saul, transition, not taking the pen, you know, something like that. You got it, Chad. Easy. Actually, he may do it. I'm just teasing. Holy Spirit, we know that you're the one that's begun. You're the one that birthed this story, this church story. But each one of our lives, you're the author of our life, Lord. Literally the author, meaning the beginning, but also the author, meaning the one who's writing it. You're the author of this faith that we hold. And right now, Lord, we're coming to you and we're asking you for grace to be so yielded, to be so laid down, to be so absolutely submitted to you and your leadership, that no matter what situation we get in, no matter how difficult it is, we never take the reins from you. We never grab the pen from you and start doing our own thing. Lord, we want you to write it from the beginning to the end. And Lord, right now, for those of us who have been like writing our own stories already, we just give it back to you, Jesus. We say, here's the pen. You can do it better. We want you to be the one writing the story, Lord. We want you to be the one writing the story. We give it to you again consciously, on purpose. We yield to you, Jesus, and to your very strong, amazing, capable leadership. You just knew how to get David into his promise. You knew how to do it. You knew how to do it in a way that built character in him, that prepared his heart so he'd never fail in character in that place. You knew how to bring glory to your name in that story. You knew how to do it. Lord, we just say, we look at the Bible, we look at all the people that you were faithful to, and Lord, we know that you'll be faithful to us as a church, JRC. We say, God, write this story. Make it better than we ever could. Write your story, Jesus. Bring in that million soul harvest. Show us how we're going to be part of it. Write your story, Lord. Write your story. And Jesus, we yield to you right now. We yield to you right now. We lay down our lives. And we say, God, just make something amazing and great out of this laid down lover. let's not be in a hurry. Let's just be in his presence. We're not in a hurry, Lord. This is what we're going to do. Chad's going to keep playing. I love that song. Let's just stay on that. If you want prayer this morning, or you just want to like be before the Lord and respond in your heart to this word, we're just going to open up the altar area up here at the front. Encourage you to come up and just seek the Lord. If others want to pray for those that are up here, or you want to pray for each other, you know, there's freedom in the house. And let's respond to the word. If you need to go at this time, that's fine too. That's fine. Let's though make this place a place of encounter. So if you need to leave or you want to leave, you can just go ahead and step out to maybe do your